Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never. It's time to actually stand up and start doing things. And as a matter of fact, I will play some context because I've mentioned this before regarding leadership. Leadership identifies the problem. They call out exactly what they need to do and they execute. And so when we're looking at all of these problems, all these things going on, again, I can't emphasize enough that they're all intertangled and entwined because they are all interconnected as violations of the Constitution. In other words, the federal government is doing things it has absolutely zero authority, and as long as they continue to have access and we allow them to do things that they have no authority to do, they will overcome us. So, here's the thing I have to kind of impress upon you. What do you do? How is it that you can finally get somebody to engage in the problem? You have to convince them that what they're doing with their time and what they're doing in their focus and fighting a symptom to the problem and help them realize that what they're doing is actually no real help at all. I mean, it's one thing to get informed. It's one thing to have, you know, when you have the time. But when you're being attacked, this goes down to Franklin or the Covey's concepts of, you know, the four quartiles, or I believe it's the quartiles of urgent and important. You know, what is it that you have to do while you're being attacked? We're being attacked. Our Constitution has been under attack and constantly under attack. And so as you fight one little issue, one issue at all, then it doesn't allow you to actually fight the real problem because you're fighting the issue, not the problem of all the things that are being done. In other words, the true attack is saying you can't do any of this stuff and we're going to make you stop. We have everything we need. And I've told you this and you've heard me say this. This is in some of my articles as well. That the divine hand of providence understood exactly what we were going to be facing at this point in time. And he knew we needed some very specific tools in our hands to be able to do this. And this very specific tool that we need is the Constitution, and I should say the tool belt that we need that will solve all of these problems is the U.S. Constitution for the United States, our organic Constitution. And in addition to that, we also have to accept and acknowledge that within that Constitution, there are very specific tools that we have to our access. It should be available to us, but our government is not allowing us to actually use these tools. They have marginalized our militia. They've marginalized our First Amendment right of petition. They've even marginalized the oath of office, and they've marginalized the mechanism within the Constitution to enforce the oath of office, the legality of that oath of office, in holding our public servants accountable. And so we're going to be wrapping up. I don't want to call it wrapping up. We're going to be coming to, I want to say, a good point in our conversation with Mark Lerner today. And in so doing, one of these things that we want to actually help you realize is starting on Monday, next Monday, this coming Monday, and when I say this coming Monday, I mean the 20th of March. This is a time-bound show, so I don't mind mentioning dates. Because what I try to do in content is I try to make sure that because the content we give you, whether it's the Tory Acts, the ratification, it doesn't matter. They are relevant. They're relevant so that you must understand these things. And all of these things, I prove, supports my argument that we must bound ourselves together as a union, as the states of this republic. And we don't need 100%. We just need to have a clear majority, and we win. Game over. Biden's gone. All of the ills from Obama, Biden, even Trump, they're all gone. We can wipe the slate clean, and we can tell the world we have been duped and you have been a part of it. How dare you? And so we have this opportunity, folks, to start focusing. And so when you, I have to ask myself, what is it that you really need? What is it that I have to do, or what do I have to say to get you into that space to go, aha, I get it, I've got to do this. And it's really something very tangible. It's getting you engaged in an activity that puts you feet on the ground right there at ground zero without having to get into harm, without having to, you know, put yourself, your life at risk, without, you know, any guns or anything like that, in using the Constitution to start holding your local public servants and government accountable. The whole secret of a self-government system is that we, the people, must hold our government accountable. The divine nature of this multi-layered sovereignty from the county to the state to the federal government, it has been completely perverted and subverted to where the least important government has become the most important, and the most important has become the least. It's like good is evil and evil is good. This is how upside down we are. So when we start on the 20th, and get diving into this, we're going to cover the parties. We're going to cover what you need to do and how you need to organize. We're going to go through this in a painstaking process, because if you're willing to lead, we're going to help you by tying this to the monetizing of Reclaiming the Republic, this particular show. This way, this show can help you actually get organized. This show can help you turn your county around. We have to start defining things. We need to define the Constitution. We also need to define what is a constitutional county. And I'm going to tell you right now, a constitutional county is not a county that goes out and spends money to join some sheriff's organization or some other org. That is not a constitutional county. A constitutional county is when the sheriff and the necessary parts of the Constitution are being exercised within that county, such as common law. Are common law courts being exercised? If not, you don't even have a constitutional county. Do you have a militia? Is your militia engaged and responding and capable of responding to your sheriff? If not, if the sheriff does not have a militia to his beck and call, then you don't have a constitutional county. Do you have even an unorganized militia? If you don't even have an unorganized militia without any citizen vigilance, and I'm not talking about patriot groups, I'm talking very specifically a constitutional organization that is for citizens' vigilance in the citizens holding both government and their public servants accountable. So in tying all this together, in stitching this fabric, we should be able to really wrap this around this cobweb and bring it into, you know, because I don't know if you've ever played with cobwebs, but I mean, they span a great distance because most of it's air. Most of it is just literally air. It's kind of like the atom. It's kind of like the solar system. There's a lot of space in between these little, you know, points of what we would call matter. And so you can take that huge webbing and then compress that down into a little ball and flick it away. That's what we can do if we start focusing on what needs to be done in getting our public servants and our government accountable and in full compliance to the Constitution. So with that, I've got less than a minute. When we go into break, we're going to be back with Mark, and we're going to be talking about what he's doing, what to do, and we're going to be setting the stage of how we're going to be working together. We're going to be working in your state. Mark is already working in many states, and this means your state. We're not working there, but we believe that with Mark's help and everybody else, we're going to start getting these conservative or constitutional legislators attuned to what they need to do and how they need to do this, and we're going to give them and you the help in getting rid of the rhinos and holding all of these corrupt politicians accountable. So we'll go into this conversation, and just like the other two yesterday and the day before, the previous episodes, we will be cutting back out, and I'll be closing out. And then tomorrow we will have Patricia Kent from the Independent American Party. We'll be right back after this music ends. Folks, we are back with probably our final segment. I really appreciate you hanging over and giving us your time and your expertise. Mark Lerner is a what we call a SME, a subject matter expert in biometrics, Real ID Act, and all things involved in this. And as we were just talking about, we just started talking about the Mark of the Beast and so forth. And what I was going to get into, but you ended up taking a second and it took up the rest of the time. We didn't have much time anyway. And what I have to say, I think, is really, really important. I truly believe that we won't be held accountable to what, you know, culprits do without truly our consent or buy-in. As you talk, when they went out and they enrolled people, it didn't mean people understood what they were doing. I believe that the mark is being done and you're being kind of registered. But you, so in other words, they're enrolling you into a system, but you're not necessarily enrolling specifically into. And I think there's this one other piece, because the Bible talks about an antichrist, it talks about the antichurch, and I teach my audience that the antichrist church was the United States government, because it started here. We actually created laws against Christianity and actually started exercising anti-Christian doctrine from the Scopes trial on, how this separate but equal, or not separate but equal, the wall of separation and some of these unfounded doctrines literally became law and doctrine in our education system, and it has permeated so much to where we've become a godless secular society. Anyway, putting all that aside, I believe that the world will be confronted, and people, all Christians, will be confronted with a choice. And I believe that choice will be very appealing. I don't know exactly what it'll be, but one thing I think that would be very appealing to almost everybody, because the technology in tandem with what's going on today, because you will never be able to change your biometrics. The mark of man is set. It's a matter of registering that into an abominable state. And what I mean by that is, if we understand, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, and there's this concept of what would have happened if they'd partaken of the fruit of eternal life. That would have become an abomination. And so when mankind no longer has this tie to physical death, then that becomes, we live eternally in our sin and our sinful state, so forth and so on. So my point is that I believe with the gene editing, they're going to come along very soon and get everybody to willingly surrender for that opportunity to live forever. It may not be a perfect, okay, we're going to extend your life for 200 years, and in the next time we will be able to, you know, perfect this gene editing, and people are going to adopt. And I just think that that's, again, it's kind of tying all of this stuff to prophecy, how people will be deceived. It's not like, I don't think there's a deception by government coming around and saying we're trying to create this mechanism and enrolling you into this control. I believe the real deception is when we buy into the game, into this system of the Antichrist. Does that make sense, Mark?
Yes, it does. And this is the reason. I have been very clear with people I have addressed, whether it's on television, radio, or in person. Mm-hmm. Nobody has accepted the Mark of the Beast yet. That cannot happen until the abomination of desolation. That's something that happens mid-tribulation, if you want to refer to it that way, at the 3.5-year point. Right. Now, my point in saying this is, even though nobody's accepted the Mark of the Beast, this is the system that I'm outlining that is the precursor for the Mark of the Beast. The only thing needed at this point, and if you're a student of the Bible or Scripture, you know this. There'll be a peace agreement in the Middle East. That'll start tribulation 7 years. At 3.5 years, the Antichrist, with the help of the false prophet, will declare that he is in fact God and demand that people worship him. He'll do this from the third temple in Jerusalem. And you either accept the mark of the beast or you're put to death. Nobody is being put to death for not accepting a real ID compliant driver's license.
Right.
But the same standards for a real ID compliant license, for that digital facial image, they apply to a United States passport under what's called e-passport. Every United States passport, the photo is digital. It meets the same standards.
Yep.
Only there's an RFID chip in every U.S. passport. That's why they're called smart passports.
Right.
E-passports.
Right.
But to your point, and I say this to Christians, I say it to Jews. The Jews have a foundation for opposing this system as well. Leviticus 19:28 is very clear. It says, do not cut your bodies for the head. Okay, for the dead. And do not mark your skin with tattoos. And people think, wait a minute, what does tattoos have to do with RFID chips? RFID chips are going to be the mark of the beast, either accepted or... No! There's a company called SoMark. S-O-M-K. SoMark. They actually have tattoos. They're RFID tattoos. People, you need to listen. Do your due diligence. SoMark has both visible tattoos that you can see and invisible tattoos that aren't visible to the naked eye. Okay, to the eye. The tattoos are RFID tattoos. All kinds of information could be stored on them.
Mm-hmm.
So when people talk about the mark of the beast and RFID and chips, understand, people, it could just as easily be a tattoo. And this company, SoMark, produces them, and they're used currently on animals. So this is not some new technology that may be developed. This is a technology, RFID tattoos, that has been in existence for decades.
Right. Yeah, and so one of the things that, getting back to the history, RFID technology, you know, from the radar technology, information, radio, and so forth, and this identification, that technology goes back to the 70s. And so I truly believe that there was this campaign of misinformation that, you know, it kind of just spread like wildfire throughout the Christian community that the mark of the beast was going to be an RFID chip, that they had to plant it in your hand or in your forehead. And I'm trying to tell people, no, that was the, you know, we're riding along an elevator and most people think that we're stopping. And I kind of call them as launch points as well. You know, they progress in incrementalism. The whole point of incrementalism with government, education, all of these things is to kind of prepare you for the next couple of stops, but they actually have you in the action of stop what is perceived as this stop here. And then most people say when they're just looking at the stop alone and they're not looking ahead and they're not actually reading, because history, you can always tell the direction of a society by looking at history, because history shows how these things progress, how these types of ideas start and how they, you know, will progress to a point of the demise of a society. My point is that we're actually, you know, people look at this stop and go, okay, well, at least they didn't put an RFID chip in my hand. I'm saying, are you kidding me? You know, you got to let that RFID chip go. Technology has surpassed that. They did not chip everybody in China, but they're controlling everybody. And that, go ahead.
I agree with you. I want to give credit where credit is due.
Sure.
I think many of your listeners are familiar with Catherine Albrecht. Catherine Albrecht started an organization with Liz McIntyre called Spy Chips. Many years ago, she warned people about RFID technology, and originally it started out that she opposed RFID technologies being used by grocery markets or stores, etc. Then it got, obviously, RFID worked its way into government and so on. But Catherine Albrecht has been the leading opponent, her and Liz McIntyre, of RFID technology. I met Catherine Albrecht, E. Griffin, had a little meeting he had at Jekyll Island. which is where the Federal Reserve was created.
Sure, sure, sure. That was, what, 2009?
Yeah. Yeah, about 2009. Catherine and I, and maybe 20 other people or so, were invited to Jekyll Island by Mr. Griffin. And I went down there, and Catherine and I met. And Catherine told the audience, you need to listen to what Mark Lerner has to say about the Real ID Act. He is, without a doubt, he has the most expertise of anybody. Of course, I said the same thing about Catherine and RFID. And Catherine ended by saying, we're part of a mutual admiration society. Yeah. But I do want to give Catherine kudos for her expertise and her fight, hers and Liz McIntyre, against RFID technology.
Right.
But getting back to where we're at today, because this is so important, even though scripture is clear and prophecy is always accurate, there will be a mark of the beast. This system I am detailing today and over previous segments, it is going to be completed. There will be an Antichrist, etc. Yep. So what do we do today?
There we go.
As Christians, we have two big responsibilities, among many others. One is to preach the gospel to the whole world, and the other is to make disciples. Well, when you know the government is turning its back on God, okay, where the voice of the world is louder than the voice of God, okay, you know that you have to fight for your freedom to protect it. And what biometrics is, it's the linchpin of a surveillance state.
Right, so let me inject real quick.
Yeah.
Because I think this is important, and so maybe I can contribute to, you know, helping people understand. Because a lot of people hear, you know, this spiritual responsibility, so forth, and they tie our constitutional republic, and actually, when you hear some people, because I'm not saying you just did this, but when you hear some people make these connotations that, you know, the Constitution is based on Bible, that this is a Christian nation, that only Christians can live here. And I'm here to tell you that that would have created a theocracy. That is a right. theocracy. And the framers did no such thing. What they wanted to do was they wanted to ensure that individual liberty and individual sovereignty for all who loved it and would be willing to share their individual liberty and sovereignty with all other individuals could come here and thrive. They didn't. I think this was the inspiration of the divine hand of providence.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
Okay. If we, in fact, as some people suggest, set out to have a single religion nation, a Christian nation, right. if you will, it would, in fact, you're right, be a theocracy. That's not what our forefathers envisioned. God gives us free will. Okay? God doesn't say you're going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, period. He tells you what the consequences are if you don't.
Right.
If you're a Christian, you know those consequences. But there is free will. There was free will in heaven when Lucifer, Satan, rebelled against God with a third of the angels.
Right.
If there was a free will, Lucifer, Satan couldn't have rebelled
right.
with a third of the angels.
Right.
So our forefathers understood free will and specifically did not want to create a theocracy, but rather a country based on Judeo-Christian values.
Right.
Which, okay, fine.
Right. Right. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. I would just say the point is today, where we have a growing surveillance state, which could take up many more segments for me to discuss. We don't have the time. The point is today, how do we slow this system down? We have to allow for religious exemptions for photographs, digital facial images. And people say to me, wait a minute, I want ballot with photo IDs so people can vote. Let me ask you a question, people. If a person has a ballot without photo or with photo ID, and the birth certificate hasn't been verified to establish the person is who they say they are, or even the fact that the person is a U.S. citizen. If we're not verifying that aspect of it, what good is a ballot with photo ID?
Right.
None.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, so back to this government that was created and the framers' intent and all of that. One of the things I've exposed my audience to, because most people didn't recognize that the divine hand of providence wrote his plan of globalism within the Constitution. And so one of the things I constantly talk about, whenever we talk about history, when we talk about, because I just covered this, literally, I just covered this. When we talk about how did America become the cops of the world? Why is it that every little skirmish, you know, we happen to, you know, engage ourselves in? Because, you know, because politically we're doing it all for the wrong reasons, because we're actually manipulating and we're not helping anybody, because we're a part of this thing called the United Nations, this unconstitutional and these godless secular organizations of communism. We need to divorce ourselves from all of that, go back to the Constitution, and then tell the world, because historically, the reason we got involved in this, it started with Tripoli. When Thomas Jefferson sent the small cadre of ships out to, you know, save the one ship and the Marines that were captured, you know, he did that because he had to respond, because we have a responsibility to protect our commerce and to ensure that it flows freely, that we weren't going to take and pay tribute to the Ottoman Empire. And so from that point to today, somehow we went from just, you know, making sure that our commerce flowed freely to a point where now we've become cops of the world and we don't have that authority to do that, nor should we be doing that, because we're enabling bad behavior. We have to start going to these countries and say, if you want to enjoy individual liberty and freedom, you have to pay the price. You have to transition your state, your laws, your government into becoming a state in the United States. And we'll put you on that if you want to vote that way and come this way. Hong Kong, Taiwan, Ukraine, Crimea, all of these places where these communist empire building or these conquest communist states are, you know, creating these problems, China and Russia. This would change the whole dialogue in the world. We'd get rid of the UN, and it would literally put, I just think it would just change the axis of the world. And we have it right here in the Constitution, the ability to allow states to be admitted into the Union by, as long as they accommodate and migrate what they necessarily need to do, both legally, culturally, those types of things. Not necessarily religiously, but bottom line, they have to want to protect and their own as well as everybody else's individual liberty and sovereignty. Forgive me for going down this rat hole. But I think historically, this is where, in the hearts of most every American, this is what they want for people, but they just never realized that this was the deeper meaning behind the Constitution.
I agree with you. And I want to, before we run out of time, you know, when I first started this many years ago, we covered the history of that in the first segment. I went up to a lady who was a neighbor at the time, and I just started blurting out everything I knew. And she said, "You are a true watchman. You are meant to warn people." And if you're familiar with scripture, you know what a watchman on the wall is. I am a watchman on the wall. That's my calling. Pastors are called to do what they do, church elders what they do, regardless of people's denomination. Okay, I can't expect a pastor to understand the technology,
right,
all the laws in our country. That's not what a pastor's been called to do. Okay, so I have this unique calling to warn people. So I'm going to give your audience two warnings right now. Number one, you don't want to be in this system. And if you're already in it, at least do everything you can to protect your children and grandchildren by going to constitutionalalliance.org. But here's the two warnings, the big ones. Number one, digital ID that's now being pushed all over the country. Oklahoma has a digital ID bill. Other states do, where basically your license is put on your smartphone. You accept an app from a state agency or department. It could be from the federal government. Okay? And you interact through your smartphone. Do not do it, people. Digital ID ensures that your biometrics are going straight to the federal government. The FBI has an NGI database, spent over $1 billion, next generation identification database. Over half, almost every person, adult, their digital facial image is in that database. It's not coming out, even if they've never committed a crime. So, reject digital ID, number one. Number two, there are people that are calling for the repeal of the Real ID Act. They don't understand the Real ID Act. The Real ID Act is broken into two titles, Title I, Title II. Title I deals with immigration. It allowed President Trump to start building the wall on the southern border. What it does is create a system, which we already have, eminent domain, that allowed for property that people used or have, personal landowners, to be used so that the wall could be built. We do not want to repeal Title I. And Title II, the part that does need to be repealed, there's one part of Title II that must remain intact. Within Title II of the Real ID Act, it states that the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, Section 7212, is repealed. You do not want to repeal that section, that part of Title II of the Real ID Act. Section 7212 of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act gives the federal government control of state driver's licenses. So you want that part of Title II of the Real ID Act, the repeal of Section 7212, to stay intact. If you have lawmakers, and I know there's a bill in Alaska right now to repeal their participation in Real ID, if you live in a state or commonwealth and you see a repeal of Real ID, you make sure your lawmakers get in touch with Mark Lerner at the Constitutional Alliance at constitutionalalliance.org. Steve Meyer is the executive director. Email Steve. I will reach back, or Steve will, or one of our other members, and explain what an entire repeal of the Real ID Act is counterproductive. Thank you for that time to spotlight out.
No problem. And as a matter of fact, we are getting close to the end of the segment. One of the things I wanted to end with, though, and talk about is, you know, what kind of brought us together. And as a matter of fact, just so the listeners know, because I've never said this before, what connected Mark and myself was a senator out of South Dakota. And basically, the senator said, I think you two need to know each other and talk to each other. And so this senator gave me Mark's info and also gave Mark my info. And I would say it had to have been within a day or two, we both started talking. And from that point forward, we started kind of understanding, you know, me regarding Mark and the Constitutional Alliance, and then Mark, me, and Reclaiming the Republic and Republic Review. And so, folks, you've heard me say this time and time again, and it's time to start separating the wheat from the chaff. People have to start realizing that we have to work together, that we have to, you know, I'm not telling people to abandon their interests, because when you have, there's a real danger when you have an organization that has all the details like the Constitutional Alliance. You got subject matter experts, and you say, well, we've got to, you know, abandon all that detail and all of that. That would be very dangerous to do. But when you get organizations like the Constitutional Alliance, like the We the People Foundation, like these other, and I call them myopic organizations because they're focused on a very specific subject matter issue that may be very broad or very minute in scope. Doesn't matter. The fact is that we have to have that level of granularity for every part of this webbing that we're trapped in. The fact is that we can't lose sight of the fact that all of these webs are interconnected, or I like to call it a house of cards. When we start looking at the few cards in this house that are a part of this, you know, the Real ID Act and these laws and so forth, and over here, you know, the Department of Housing and Urban Development and you know, welfare and healthcare, all of these different, we'll call them wings or additions to this huge monstrosity of a house of cards. All of these cards are unconstitutional. That's the one thing we have to keep in mind, that we do have the ability to blow these things down and to get rid of these things. And the process is much simpler to do. What's really important that I want everybody to understand is when an organization is willing to not put aside their interest, but willing to actually share their focus on a common goal. When we're all, because I do talk about putting aside interest. When individuals have to put aside their self-interest and those types of things. In other words, it's, you know, are you taking care of your own interest, or are you taking better care of your preservation by working with others? When we start uniting, when we start working together, we'll still be able to maintain our own interest, but more importantly, we're gaining a better capability of taking care of everyone's interest. And I think that's the whole point that the framers got that we don't get right now. People don't understand that united we stand, divided we fall. And all of these groups that are out there, unlike Mark and the Constitutional Alliance, unlike, you know, the National Liberty Alliance and some of these other groups, at least these groups get it that they have to work together. And so this is big. When you find leaders that are actually willing to say, absolutely, we want to work with everybody on constitutional compliance. It's not just about one little issue. There's a whole bunch of problems, but we're bringing to the table all the tools you need to understand why this is a problem. And that's important.
I agree 100%.
And so I'm looking forward to working more with you, Mark, and the Constitutional Alliance, and not getting into any of the personal natures, issues, and things that are involving your life. I hope, and it's my desire, that we don't wait till the next legislative session, that we kind of keep in track or keep on track and keep kind of, you know, looking at what do we need to be doing and what do we need to add so that we can actually be more effective in working together. Because that's where I'm hoping to go here. I'm hoping to actually start building this alliance of these, if you want to be philanthropic, call them, you know, because you're no longer a 501c3, as I understand it. You've become a corporation like me.
We are 501c4 now.
Okay.
And I think it's important people realize why we made the difference,
okay,
or the change. 501c3, you can take donations and have them be tax deductible. 501c4 is not tax deductible, but what a 501c4 allows us to do, we can write legislation, we can lobby, you know, for certain bills if we support those bills. And just as importantly to me personally and the other board members, the only restriction on a 501c4 is you have to make sure what you're doing is for the social good. And I would argue to the day of my last breath, if you're protecting the freedom or liberty of the people of the United States of America, there is nothing more important to the social order or
social good, yeah,
than doing that.
Absolutely. So with all of that, I'd like to come back around, and it's going to get hectic, but one of the things we probably need to do on a sidebar, and I've given you kind of an overview, but we just need to connect because I value your input and I value your involvement. And I want to thank you for your involvement so far in what we've done and look forward to, you know, actually clearing this forest that has gone completely out of control and out of check of government, so to speak. So anyway, any other points or anything else? And by the way, if there's any type of other links or information you want to give me, I can actually put it up on our other links page so that people, because they know to go there, you know, anybody that I've talked to, worked with, and heard, and they go, who's that guy again? They can go there and they can find it. So
I would end.
Okay.
I would say two things I always say to people whenever I'm on the radio, even on TV. When you tell people, or you go to Constitutional Alliance, and even though it's two words, put it in as one word to get to our website, constitutionalalliance.org. It's not just important that you learn or see or review the information. You've got to share it with everybody you're in contact with, people you work with, people you go to church with. Or if you're Jewish, you might go to synagogue with these people, or people that, you know, belong to your little league, son's little league team, or daughters, whatever the case may be.
Right.
You got to share it with everybody you're in contact with. Because if you have knowledge and you only keep that knowledge to yourself, that's an act of vanity. So you can go around feeling or pretending to be smarter than everybody else. I know something you don't know. No, don't be vain. When you get information that you can vet, you can verify, you understand the importance of it, you have a responsibility to share it with everyone you're in contact with.
Awesome. And so one of the things that we do want to connect and talk about is, you know, what's next for legislation. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to actually bring you back because I know that there's ramifications of the Second Amendment and other things. I believe that the Real ID Act is, you know, there's going to be other things that you need to understand why this becomes the portal for more evil or more nefarious activities that government, corporations, and other people can start levying upon us. Anyway, thank you for your time. And thank you for all that you've done. And I, you know, I can't wait to talk to you again. And God bless you for everything that you have done.
Thank you, and God bless you as well.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to be right back after we go into this quick break, and we will kind of close everything up then. So thank you so much, and we'll be right back after this. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
I have a hard time articulating when I have a lot of things I need to cover and a lot of things I want to say. There's never just enough time to say it all. And I'm not sure if that's just a just myself or because I'm thinking about so many other things and I want to keep them on the plate and I want to be able to make sure we cover them. And so I'm sorry if yours truly came off a little bit scattered or fragmented. Bottom line, there is a job to do. We have to start recognizing how far along we are. If you understand this whole Real ID Act, if you understand government is positioning itself in, you know, in managing and identifying and controlling every human being on the face of the earth, the global government is getting itself in position to do that. So what are the other, what are some of the other things? One of the things I can tell you is if you start looking at the currency and how we've gone from a gold standard to, you know, a kind of like a certificate to kind of like this, you know, this literally fiat money system. And what's next? So what is next? These are the types of questions that if you realize how far along we are, they're already getting ready to present the solution to the next financial meltdown, which would be a cashless society. One of the things that I find fascinating is that if you're involved in retail and so forth, they talk about, you know, how counterfeiting is out of control. And, you know, they get the retailers to all, oh, look at this. I honestly believe that what we are witnessing is all about manipulation. They want to create this perception, but why isn't this in the news? Why isn't this these huge rings of counterfeiters and all this other crap? It's just like the rings of, and we know for a fact that child sex trafficking and those types of things are being completely suppressed. We're being played. And when we look at what's going on in Russia, do not think that the Biden administration isn't doing the job that they're supposed to do in handling this crisis. We're literally two sides of the two wings of the same bird. What Russia is doing, what China is doing, if you want to consider these different wings, they're all being controlled and manipulated. You tell me what nation out there is not underneath the controls and the strings of the globalists who are controlling the world. You're telling me that Russia is not a part of that? Are you telling me China is not a part of it? They sure seem to be integral. And as a matter of fact, I'm going into this, I told you that Gog, if you understand this through the reference of Gog and Magog, that means Russia and Persia will make an alliance. This goes all the way back to 3,000 plus years ago when Isaiah was the one that actually, you know, talked about, you know, in the last days, this is what's going to happen. And it hasn't happened since. The next time you see these two countries working together, Gog and Magog, woe be unto you, because those are the dark and desolation days or what have you. And I'm just paraphrasing, but the point I'm hoping you're gathering is that all of these things are bearing witness to you that the time is at hand, that the time needs to be acted upon. In other words, the best way to put it, that I could say it as succinct and as simple as possible, well, I start each show off with this. We're out of time. What's it going to take? It's now or never. And so bottom line, folks, it's now or never. What is it going to take? Now is the time. We have to act. Now, moving forward, the next show, we're going to try to put some focus on the party. I am hoping to have a regular conversation with Patricia. For some reason, I want to keep on calling her Pat. That's just because my mind is working way too fast right now, and that's not my fault. Anyway, we want to have, a biweekly, twice a month, a regular conversation with the chair of the Independent American Party. I would love it if Jim Clymer would avail himself. I haven't sent him an email, but I've called him. I've left messages, and I know that doesn't suffice. You have to kind of sometimes send emails. But I don't understand why he wouldn't want to come on, other than he may know that I'm a pretty intense person, and I'm looking for results. I'm looking for change. I'm looking for action. People, this is what people want to see. And I'm hoping that he can avail himself the time. I'm hoping that if you're a part of the Constitution Party, maybe you can help me. maybe you can say, hey, you know, GR wants to actually have time to help, you know, spread the word, spread the message that the Constitution Party is doing good things and how to do this. Bottom line, I believe that we need to have a unification. If I've got two parties that agree essentially on the exact same thing, we need to unify those two parties. We need to bring those parties together because, in essence, if they are all about the exact same thing, then why are we having two parties? I mean, it's like what we have today with the Uniparty, the Democrats and the Republicans. Aren't they about this exact same thing? They're all about control and agendas. If we could create a party that has no controls, no agendas, or I should say, they're not looking to, you know, control powers and give themselves powers through government. What they're looking to do is to get government under control based on the Constitution. So having these conversations will really help you, because when we start laying at your feet the resources that you have within your county, these are resources that are real and tangible. There are people that are already giving up a part of their life on a monthly basis to meet as a part of the party, whether that be Republican, Independent, whether that be the help me out here, folks, it's the Libertarian, the Constitution Party. I mean, there's all of these different parties that fundamentally, those people that are usually involved in that are recognizing that government is way out of control. We need to be doing something. And I want to be a part of that change, so they join the party that they think aligns with them. I believe every American thinks and realizes, or could quickly come to the realization, that the Constitution itself is their best bet. It is their best horse to ride across the finish line. It's the only one that will finish. It's the only one that will get the job done. And when I say the Constitution Party, or the party that embraces the full compliance of the Constitution, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Constitution Party is that. As a matter of fact, what we're hoping is to bring in all of these people that went off and, you know, created their own little party, you know, factions, to bring all of those people back together into what I would call the Madisonian Republican Party, or I would even like to call it the American Constitution Party. And I think that's kind of like the best of both worlds with the Independent American Party and the Constitution Party, if they ever merged. Now, I may be this, you know, what do you call that? You're just an idiot just babbling off into space here, you know, and thinking the two parties would put aside their differences and actually unify in the Constitution. Wow, that's so novel. I think it's attainable, folks. I think that this is something that when you start getting involved and you start resonating this message, I'm here, this is what we need to do, and I'm here because of this. I'm here because we need to be doing this. Other people will agree. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. We have to start getting people equally informed, because that's how we get rid of this nonsense of bickering and arguing over things that we're just misinformed on. So with that, we'll be back with Patricia Kent in setting up, you know, this concept and hopefully a long-term, long-dwelling conversation on what we need and how we can work together in restoring our constitutional republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.